content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin our program today with an article from Catster.com titled A Reimagined Shelter by Annie Butler Sharifs. In March, Best Friends Animal Society introduced a new animal resource center in Bentonville, Arkansas, that changes the traditional sheltering model as we know it. The first of its kind national destination for animal lovers, Best Friends Pet Resource Center showcases adoptable pets in a bright and airy facility that does not use cages or kennels, instead housing them in large, open rooms or utilizing their local foster network. The center serves as a business model for the country, intended to elevate and empower communities in saving homeless pets, while also serving as a life-saving hub for Northwest Arkansas, supporting area shelters and providing long-distance transport. The goal is to end the killing of cats and dogs in U.S. shelters by 2025, and the Pet Resource Center plays an important part in this strategy. The center offers pets for adoption while also helping people struggling to keep their existing pets by connecting them with humane and social services, offering on-site resources including a pet food and supplies pantry, veterinary care, and training classes, just to name a few. The center's playful design features installations from local artists and pet fixtures evoking the Ozarks. With people and pets in mind, the center partnered with Third Space Coffee to create an on-site vegan cafe and coffee shop that provides free Wi-Fi and lounge area seating, allowing people to work in the company of adoptable cats and dogs. A variety of comfortable spaces for guests throughout the facility lets potential adopters, fosters, or volunteers engage with the animals in a relaxed atmosphere. For more information, visit bestfriends.org/northwest-arkansas. Next, we'll read an article titled, Growing Up with Pets Reduces Asthma Risk by Jackie Brown. Did you know that growing up with pets reduces your risk for asthma? Here's the scoop. A retrospective study published in March in the scientific journal PLOS-1 found that Japanese kids who grew up with dogs or cats in the home were about half as likely to develop asthma as children who did not live with pets. The protective efforts were similar for exposure to both dogs and cats, but in the case of dogs, exposure in the child's first year of life is more critical. For cats, exposure at any age has a protective effect. Researchers do not yet know the specific reason that exposure to pets might reduce the likelihood of developing asthma and allergies. Next, we'll move on to an article in Lifestyle, Anxious Kitty, A Routine Helps, by Rita Reimers and Linda Hall. Cats are all about survival individually and for the species. When cats fear losing their resources or if a predator is nearby, they become stressed, fearful, maybe even a little or a lot aggressive. Some cats hide, some cats attack, and their behaviors are really two sides of the same coin, reactions to anxiety. Look behind the label. Before we even begin a behavior session, we simply listen. We ask our clients about each cat and other pet in the household, their usual demeanor, and what the issues are in detail. We usually see the same pattern. One cat labeled the bully, the other cat labeled the victim. Usually if there's a third cat, that cat is Switzerland and doesn't get involved in the disagreements. We understand the labels. When one cat chases and growls and another flees in fear, that's what it looks like. Fighting, spraying, inappropriate urination, defecation, misdirected aggression. All of these unwelcome behaviors come from the same place, anxiety and fear. Let's step back and look at how cats behave in nature. Every single thing cats do is done out of preservation of themselves and their species. Remember, cats are both predator and prey in the food chain. Another animal could always come along and steal their territory, their food, or even hurt or kill them. We'd be nervous wrecks too if we had to live like that. In fact, the most anxious kitties we see are often the ones who have lived outside in the world, fighting for resources, meals, and even their lives. It's a tough way to live. But the instinct to either fight for resources to hide away from predators is alive in all cats, whether they have lived outside or not. Always have your kitty checked out by a veterinarian to rule out medical issues before assuming it's a behavioral problem. Ease that anxiety. To help your anxious kitty, the first step is to understand the root cause of his behavior. For example, if your cat pees on your bed or sofa, it's easy to become angry. No one wants to live like that. However, understanding that your cat was so stressed that he needed to mix his scent with yours makes it much easier to be kind. We're still not thrilled about the pee mistake, but when we know it wasn't done to purposely annoy us, we handle it better. Cats do not exact revenge and do not express inappropriate behaviors to spite you. Yelling or punishing a stressed cat only makes the situation worse. Think about if someone yelled at you when you were stressed. How would you react? Second step, put some daily routines in place. Those outside cats have a strict schedule they follow every day. Routine, any routine, lets our cats know what to expect, and this makes them feel more secure. It also fits more into their natural activity of hunting for food. There are many times and activities you can create routines around for your kitty. You may already be doing some right now. Third step, keep calm and carry on. Cats are empaths. They study us constantly and know our every facial expression and vocal tone. They know when we are upset, and sometimes that's enough to cause our cat stress. If you are scared or upset, your cat will take his cues from you. We know it might be difficult to remain calm in all situations, but fake it till you feel it. Fourth step, use low tones and keep a calm atmosphere to help cats prone to being high-strung and anxious in any situation. Your loud friends or family are coming to visit, set up a nice place in a bedroom or other safe space where your cat can hang out and feel secure. Anxious cats need us to help them relax so they can enjoy spending time with you without any fear. Next, we'll move on to an article titled Therapy Cats and Their People by Mary Tan. When you think of therapy animals, dogs visiting schools, libraries, and airports probably come to mind. According to Pet Partners, one of the world's largest registry of therapy pets, pups are the majority, but cats come in second. Training a cat to help people cope with boredom, stress, or other emotions takes time and energy, but when you mix that human dedication with a cat who loves attention, you've got a match made in heaven changing lives every day. Here are three people who do just that. Keegan Taylor and Rom, Kansas City, Missouri. If you're part of the LGBTQ community, sometimes you need a safe space and supportive environment. That's what the Kansas City Center for Inclusion provides. And there's another draw to the community resource. Keegan Taylor's cat therapy team with Rom, his orange tabby. The professional groomer and his furry best friend regularly visit the center to provide support, especially to transgender youth who have faced trauma. Rom really helps when it comes to talking about difficult things, Keegan says. I bring him into the room, and if I see someone who is sad or upset, I ask them if they would like to hold him. He then gets passed around from lap to lap, getting lots of pets. Rom is one of the only therapy cats in the country whose focus is on the LGBTQ community. The center saved my life, says Keegan of his personal connection. The people there really helped me grow into the person I am today. The big orange feline came into Keegan's life as a stray on his doorstep in 2020. The cat was a mess covered in fleas and ear mites. But as a professional groomer with animal behavior training, Keegan cleaned him up and realized he would make the perfect therapy cat. He just loves belly rubs and is mellow and adaptable, he says. He was perfect. Knowing his furry friend's special demeanor, the animal handler leash-trained the 4-year-old cat, who was always on leash during his support group sessions. Before each visit, center staff notifies all attendees that Rom will be in attendance, just in case anyone is allergic to cats. Many times, attendees attend these specific sessions with Rom, because Rom will be there. Keegan says that while his cat clearly enjoys the visits, he does too. Every time I go, I feel a sense of satisfaction that I'm helping my community, he says. I get to merge my passion for animals with my passion to help people who may be suffering. It's an amazing experience for both of us. Follow Rom on Instagram, @therapycatrom. Don Wise and Reba, Alfreda, Georgia. Reba, the all-black cat, had a rough life. Born into a hoarding situation, the tiny kitten had such a horrible upper respiratory infection that one of her eyes ruptured and had to be removed. On top of that, she came down with ringworm, where she had to isolate for 4 months. Don Wise's daughter fostered Reba during that time, and much to the surprise of just about everyone, Reba emerged social and loving despite isolating during a time of key social development. Don's daughter asked her mom to adopt the rescue. The Georgia multifamily real estate analyst couldn't say no. Reba was so social, Don knew she should spread her new kitty's love of affection. First, she entered Reba into the Cat Fanciers Association and the International Cat Association's local, regional, and national cat shows. She ended up winning many awards in both organizations' household pet categories, but Don wanted her cat to do more than just earn ribbons. The black kitty took Pet Partners' therapy test, passing with flying colors. With that certification, the friendly feline was able to go to Atlanta area hospitals, schools, medical, and government conferences. These visits are now a side hustle passion for Don. I like doing it because I love knowing my cat is helping other people, she says. I owe it to Reba to help her bring joy to other people through emotional connections. You can follow Reba on Instagram at Reba_the_one_i_showcat. And previously, if you want to follow Rom, I apologize, I didn't share that earlier, you can follow Rom on Instagram at TherapyCatRom. That's R-O-M. Tracy Howell, Roger, and Sal in Scottsdale, Arizona. What's better than one therapy cat? Having two. Tracy Howell, an IT manager at Arizona State University, ended up with two felines whose personalities fit for therapy, so she jumped at the chance to help people in need. Sal, an orange and white domestic short hair kitty, has happened to show up on Tracy's doorstep. When she saw his wonderful demeanor, she decided to keep him. It didn't take long for the feline to begin leading ASU students on hikes and regularly visiting the campus library and fitness center. His leadership skills are so exceptional that everyone follows him, Tracy says. He loves hiking and has a sense of adventure. He can jump on the roof of my condo and then jump into surrounding trees. I once took him on vacation to California, and he was amazed by the ocean. He just sat staring at it for hours. Then there's his brother, Roger, an all-gray domestic short hair. He primarily does hospice work, consoling people who are facing their last breaths and giving sick kids hope at Phoenix area children's hospitals. He has an amazing ability to sit with people while they are dying, calming them in their last moments, Tracy says. During the pandemic, Roger even appeared on Zoom calls at his local public library's memory cafes to help keep people connected to one another during the time of mandatory seclusion. While Tracy often takes her cats to schools, hospitals, and corporate events, she also goes to these places alone. She volunteers at the hospitals by herself, escorting other therapy animal teams around to the various patients who need special visits. She also does her part to support the therapy community as a local evaluator for Pet Partners to help test other cats who could be therapy animals. With a full-time job and pet therapy activities taking all her free time, the cat mom is living life to its fullest. She believes in giving back to her community through volunteering and providing her personal pets as a comfort to others, which gives her a sense of satisfaction and a life full of happy, feline-filled moments. You can follow Roger, Sal, and Tracy on Instagram at TherapyCatRoger and at TherapyCatSal. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll start with an article in Training and Behavior Unleashed with How is Fido Feeling? By Rachel Bricks. Recent research in canine cognitive science confirms what most dog lovers already know. Dogs have feelings, but just how closely are their emotions related to ours? Dogs' brains are structured similarly, have the same hormones, and undergo the same chemical changes when experiencing emotions, but a dog's cerebral cortex is 5 times smaller. Although dogs have remarkable cognitive capabilities, their emotions are more raw, untainted by human-like analysis. A dog's emotional life is often compared to that of a 2.5-year-old child. A dog's range of emotions include attachment, love, anticipation, anxiety, fear, joy, sadness, calmness, loneliness, jealousy, anger, and aggression. So what about emotions like guilt? shame, revenge, and pride. No, these more complex emotions are require context and synthesis, and current evidence doesn't suggest dogs' emotions reach that far. A classic example of soiling on the floor and shredding couch pillows while you're gone. You might think your dog is getting back at you for leaving him alone. However, emotions are more likely like loneliness, fear, or anxiety, not revenge. How about more intense emotional responses like trauma? Certified canine behaviorist Andrew Hale says yes, and it may present long-term challenges for them as it does us. Simply put, trauma is when a negative experience overwhelms the individual's ability to cope. And given how often we put dogs in situations they can't cope with or escape from, Andrew says it's likely many dogs will experience trauma to some extent. Furthermore, he says most experts in behavior science now agree that dogs experience post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Lori Teller from Texas A&M University School of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences says that symptoms in dogs parallel those in humans. Chronic anxiety, hypervigilance, avoidance of certain people, places, or situations, sleep disturbance, fear of being alone, decreased interest in favor activities or aggression. Don't overcomplicate it. Dogs live in the moment, and they tend to wear their hearts on their sleeves. Often, what you see is what you get. Because dogs are nonverbal communicators, decoding your dog's feelings requires observation and context. Overall, tight, tense body parts mean a tense, stressed, or even angry dog. Loose body parts tend to indicate ease and calm. Always consider the whole dog and not just one body part. Also factor in context. The situation and environment affect your dog's behavior. Andrew says we don't need to know exactly what a dog's thinking or feeling to recognize that he is feeling something that drives his behavior and ability to process what's going on around him. In the moment, feelings arise from emotions, and moods are the resulting mixture of feelings. While dogs may become what humans might label moody in their adolescent years, dogs generally aren't moody by definition. This is because dogs usually aren't unpredictable or prone to sudden gloominess. If you suspect moodiness, pay close attention to key indicators of your dog's emotions or check to see if he's in discomfort or pain. We might label a dog as having mood swings, but that's more likely a result of dog living in the present and more about stimuli than being moody. Research has found that dogs do tend to take on personalities and attitudes of their primary caregivers. A large study out of Michigan State found dogs do adjust accordingly to our change in attitudes and emotions and tend to mirror our traits. For example, a high-strung person might have an excitable dog, or an anxious person might have a more fearful dog. A key takeaway from the study is that dogs respond to us. How we live our lives influences how our dogs experience and live theirs. We popularized the term Velcro dog, but what if we reevaluated behaviors like pawing at us, following us around, or sitting at our feet as connection-seeking behaviors instead of attention-seeking? Or is the dog trying to tell us something? Suddenly, the context becomes much more meaningful and worthy of investigation. Ignoring dogs' emotions, or worse, punishing them, not only erodes the dog-human bond, but can potentially create or exacerbate behavioral issues. Andrew says the more elevated the nervous system, the harder it is to be able to process what's going on, which can easily leave your dog feeling overwhelmed. Often the environment, especially the social environment, moves too fast for dogs to process information safely, so a stress response is likely. Slow things down and allow your dog time to process what's happening and the space to feel safe so your dog is more likely to cope. Learn how your dog needs to use the space to feel safe and always provide for that, especially when attached to you via a leash, says Andrew. Labels like stubborn, diva, or dramatic aren't helpful. For example, dogs aren't usually being stubborn, but are more likely attempting to communicate such feelings as, I don't feel well, I'm tired, I don't understand what's being asked of me, I need better motivation, I'm not comfortable with this, I'm stressed, I don't like this, I'm scared. Instead of labeling, try to uncover what's really behind the behavior. Andrew says to truly help a dog and identify his personal care and support needs, you need to learn more about his emotional experience. A key principle in supporting others is understanding the need for relief. Stress is the root cause of many behavior challenges, so a deeper understanding of what your dog is feeling will help him find that relief, rather than just getting your dog to change behavior or something you want or find more appropriate. Your own behavior. Next time Fido embarrasses you by barking and lunging at another dog in public, upsets you by tearing up couch cushions while you're away, or frustrates you by jumping on guests, stop for a moment and think about your reactions. Emotions drive your behavior too. Instead of reacting, support Fido in his efforts to communicate his emotions. See how you can relieve his fear of other dogs, loneliness, or anxiety while you're away, and his joy or anxiety at seeing other people. Ultimately, dogs want to feel safe, and Andrew says time and space are everything when supporting a more sensitive or stressed dog. Give your dog time to process information, to take it all in. Allow for space or movement through the environment and time for social processing. When we allow opportunities to think and process, dogs tend to self-regulate. Seeking to understand forces you to let go of expectations and prescriptions for behavior and focus instead on compassion first and training second. When you value your dog's needs rather than focus on what he, quote-unquote, should be doing, you may be surprised to find this positive behavior follows naturally. Acknowledging dogs' emotions helps you help them feel safe. When dogs feel good, they can live their best lives. So some helpful body language tips. Fearful, you know, reading dog body language. Ears pinned back, tail between legs, cowering, averted eyes, whale eye. Joy, playfulness, butt in the air and forepaws bent on the ground, play bow, full body wag. Happy, soft eyes, open mouth, a doggy smile, possibly tongue lolling to one side, loose, low to mid-range wagging tail. Anxious, lip licking, shaking off, panting, pacing, drooling, averted gaze, destructive behavior, restlessness, whale eye. Anger / aggression, ears pricked forward, tail high and stiff wagging, puckered mouth, growl, hard stare. Calm, relaxed body, paws possibly crossed, soft eyes, ears in neutral position. This article also asks, can dogs cry? A new Japanese study found dogs do secrete tears when reunited with their primary guardians as opposed to other familiar humans. Although findings in the small study weren't conclusive, it provides pathways for more exciting research like examining the social functions of dogs' tears and whether reactions are similar when reunited with doggy pals. Next, we'll read an article from my favorite section of Dogster, which is WAGS. Craft Beer Brings People and Pups Together by Annie Butler Sharifs. Second Chance Beer Company's main motto is Seize a Pint, Save a Pup. That's because this small, independent craft brewery in San Diego, California is dedicating to helping rescue dogs. The brewery was co-created in 2015 by CEO Virginia Morrison and her husband, Master Brewer, Marty Mendiola. Animal welfare is a big element of the company, and something about the two are very passionate about. When we talked about opening our own brewery, we knew giving back will be part of our ethos, Virginia says. 1% of the sales from their beers, New Day and Buddy, each featuring dogs on the beer can, goes towards Second Chance Dog Rescue, secondchancedogrescue.org, and the Animal Pad, theanimalpad.org in San Diego, as well as Follow Your Heart, followyourheartanimalrescue.org in Gilbert, Arizona. Since the brewery's beginnings, more than $257,000 has gone to the dog rescues. Dogs welcome. To say that Second Chance Beer Company is dog-friendly is an understatement. Virginia and Marty bring their dog Citra to work every day. Two dogs the couple fostered, Chinook and Chuck, have found their forever homes with brewery employees, and they come to work every day as well. Other dog-owning employees also bring canine buddies to work, and patrons are encouraged to bring their pups to join in the fun, giving back. The brewery is instrumental in helping rescue dogs find their forever homes by hosting dozens of events. A portion of the sales from fundraising events like the annual Pupalooza goes to the rescues they support. For 2023, the brewery's goal is to get 23 dogs adopted and donate at least $2,300 to each of the rescue partners. Beyond that, we hope and will open more dog-welcoming tasting rooms and continue to raise awareness of the benefits of adoption, Virginia says. In addition to dogs, Virginia's other passion is diversity, equity, and inclusion. She founded the San Diego Brewers Guild's DEI Committee in 2019 and is currently the National Brewer Association's DEI Committee Chairperson. As Second Chance's website says, it's a community where beer brings people and their pups together. More than just a brewery, we embrace diversity, value innovation, and give back without compromise. Learn more about Second Chance Beer Company at secondchancebeer.com and on Instagram, Second Chance Beer, and Facebook, Second Chance Beer Company. Next, we'll highlight some books about dogs. First one is Wonder Dog, The Science of Dogs and Their Unique Friendship with Humans by Jules Howard. Wildlife expert, zoology correspondent, and science writer Jules Howard presents this celebration of dogs and the scientists who have lived alongside them. Our relationship with dogs has considerably evolved, and this book takes a look at the historical paths we've walked together and how psychologists and animal behaviorists have built upon the study of dogs with important results. With the help of veterinarians, ethologists, neurologists, historians, and the author's own dogs, the book reveals the study of dogs to be key in the advancement of compassion in scientific research and crucial to making life on Earth better for all species. And next we have Sit, Stay, Heal, What Dogs Can Teach Us About Living Well by Dr. Renee Al-Sarraf. For more than two decades, esteemed veterinary oncologist Dr. Renee Al-Sarraf has treated cancer in canine patients. But when she was diagnosed with cancer herself, the disease she dedicated her professional life to fighting left her afraid and unsure. Then in receiving her diagnosis, she realized that empathy she had for animals went both ways. Those furry, four-legged friends seemed to understand her own difficult journey and showed her the true power of unconditional love and positivity. The book is an unforgettable and moving testament to both the healing nature of dogs and the resilience of the human spirit. And finally, Forever Home, The Inspiring Tales of Rescue Dogs. Sometimes a dog's journey to his forever home isn't a simple straight line. Behind every dog featured in this touching photo series by photographer Trayer Scott is a heartwarming tale of resilience and love. Scott, a Rhode Island-based photographer whose earlier books include Finding Home and Shelter Dogs, chronicles their journeys to their forever homes with full-color close-up portraits, along with their adoption stories. Whether a new puppy parent or simply an animal lover, the celebration of pet rescue and adoption in all its forms is the ideal tribute to our canine friends. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.